Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dreams Unlimited Travel Podcast. My name is John Magi, and I'll be your host. And this week, we're going to talk you through booking and staying at a Disney moderate resort. I'm joined at the table by our panel of experts, client services manager, Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Agent consultant, Tracy Heinrichs.
Hi, everyone.
And back in our production facility, our producer, Craig Williams.
Hello.
Again, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is going to be part of our continuing series of talking about the different Walt Disney World Resort hotels. We already covered the deluxe hotels. Now we're moving on to the moderates, just to sort of give everybody an idea of where these resorts fall and what we think are good and bad points and what makes them unique, why you might choose one resort over another. Just to recap, for those of you who don't know or you might not remember, Disney lumps their resorts together by category: value resorts, moderate resorts, deluxe resorts, and deluxe villa resorts, driven primarily by price, but also by amenities, location, theming, that type of thing. So this is why we're choosing to break them down into different categories to cover them, because it'd be just too much to do everything at once. I do want to say before we get started that as part of our conversation on the moderate resorts, we are not going to talk about Fort Wilderness campgrounds, even though Disney lumps those into the moderate resort category. I think they deserve their own conversation.
Yeah, it's a big conversation.
Again, don't really fit into what we talk about with moderates per se, but I think we should treat those a little bit different. All right, and before we delve right into the moderates, I think it's important to remind everybody that no matter where you stay at Walt Disney World, no matter what level of resort you stay, as long as you're staying at a Disney-owned and operated hotel, there are benefits that everybody gets. So it's not like if you stay at a moderate, you won't get the same things as people who stay at a deluxe will get. That's what's nice about Disney is everybody who stays at a Disney hotel, you get the same perks. Tracy, what are some of the perks that folks get for booking a Disney-owned resort?
You get, first of all, you can book your dining 180 days plus 10 in advance. That's important. So what that means is you can book 10 days from your arrival date. So instead of, you don't book at 180 and then the next day. So that's probably one of the biggest advantages that people like for the pre-planning part. You also have access to booking fast passes 60 days in advance as opposed to 30. So that's a plus as well for that, again, that pre-planning stage. Once you're on site, you've got transportation to all the parks included. Everybody gets magic bands. What am I missing?
Complimentary Wi-Fi.
Well, yep, free Wi-Fi. Yep, free Wi-Fi now.
You mentioned transportation to and from the airport to your
resort.
Yes,
that's right. Magical Express is included for everybody.
So all of the really, some people might not take advantage of all that they have to offer, it's great that it's across the board.
Right.
And I think one of the things that's really cool is the magic bands.
Yes,
so everybody
for sure.
gets a magic band.
Because if you have to buy a magic band, it's $12.95 each plus tax. So there is some value to there for a family or for a couple. And if you're like me and you come often, then you can have a whole collection of magic bands, all different colors to match different outfits. And once you activate a magic band to your My Disney Experience account, it's always valid. So you could decide to bring five of them with you if you want. So the magic bands have certainly become a fashion accessory.
Disney also offers themed magic bands. So you can go and you can buy one if you're into Star Wars or into Mickey or Minnie. You can go and purchase your own. But the free ones are always a plus.
And I think having the transportation from the airport, I remember having to arrange that. It was either private car or a taxi or a Mears, or there was different options, but it was always a paid service. So it's, having that free transportation is definitely a plus.
And they use good buses.
Yes,
they're
they do.
Newer buses. They're clean buses. They're air conditioned. We've had issues, especially when I first started, there was a lot of people complaining about the luggage delivery. Mm-hmm. That was an issue, that stuff was getting lost. I think they fixed that quite a bit.
I think they have. I think they've really fine-tuned the whole program, how long you wait at the airport for the buses, the picking up. I think they've really kind of, as good as it can be, this kind of program is a massive production. Right. So, it's never going to be perfect. And one thing to keep in mind with the luggage delivery, it really is going to be 3 to 4 hours before you see it. So what I sometimes recommend for people is if you're worried about that, pick up your own luggage, take it on the bus with you. And that way you have it when you arrive. Mm-hmm. If you do arrive after 10 o'clock at night, do keep in mind they don't offer the luggage transfer. So after 10 o'clock and before 5 or 6 a.m., I believe it is. So you would have to collect your own luggage and bring it on the bus with you. And at that time of night, you'd want to anyway. Who wants to wait until 1 o'clock in the morning for them to deliver it?
That is true. And we have seen that.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about what are some of the benefits of staying at a moderate resort hotel. We talked about deluxes last time. So I think one of the biggest differences between a moderate and a deluxe is obviously price.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about a much more affordable vacation. Right. So especially if you're in that period in your life where price is a driving factor, this is a great alternative to the deluxes.
Well, there are some other things too. There's
one of the list, but go ahead.
You're not going to find signature restaurants usually at a moderate. The landscaping is a downgrade from a deluxe. The amenities are different in the room.
I think one of the things, though, that Disney does do, which I think is great, is that the theming within the resorts are really top notch.
Right.
Like, while you may not like the theming of Coronado Springs, at least they are very true.
Right. That's right.
Right. Things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're right. There's the dining options are much different at a moderate versus
typically location as well. So, you know, with the deluxe resorts, many of them are located in close proximity to a park. So you have the extra convenience of additional transportation options. At a moderate resort, you're taking the bus. Right. So the buses will go to all four of the parks, Disney Springs, unless you're staying at one of the Port Orleans resorts. And they also offer that boat transportation to Disney Springs, which I think is going to become more and more of a value as Disney Springs is becoming this incredible, what looks to be like a destination. You know, being able to hop on that boat and go there as opposed to a bus or driving a car.
And not worrying about parking.
Right, yeah, exactly. So I think that's going to be an added plus for those moderates as well.
Right. And obviously, they're more expensive than a value resort.
They are. So again, moderate really just kind of describes they're kind of in between. Mm-hmm. They're in between that value category and that deluxe category. Also, with the moderates, this will be true for the values when we talk about those as well. But the moderate resorts all have external hallways. So I always hesitate to say think motel because you cannot describe a moderate Disney resort as a motel. But that same idea where you're entering from the outside into your room. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they all have those features. And they do have elevators. I know some people say I need to be on the ground floor, I can't do stairs. There are elevators in the majority of the buildings as
well. One of the things is also true is the moderates tend to have a little bit more recreational options than the value resorts.
Yes, they do.
And as we go through each resort individually, we'll talk about what each one has. But there seems to be more things like carriage rides and you know, campfires and stuff like that. So a little bit more to choose from
and
than a value.
And when you're looking at the difference between the value and the moderate as well, the moderates, even though they don't have the same level of signature dining as the deluxe, they usually have sit-down restaurants.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, the quick service food court. French Quarter is an exception to that, but it is a sister resort to the Riverside. So it's very easy to eat at the Riverside in their sit-down if you chose to. So, you know, dining options, the pool areas, while not as themed and elaborate as deluxe, they are more so than the values.
As
so
we
it's
go
that
through
stepping
the,
stone.
As we go through these resorts, I think we're going to talk about one that people love, which is Port Orleans has one of the most incredible pool areas. So let's start with the Caribbean Beach, Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort, first of the moderate resorts. Disney wants to talk about the thing that makes them unique.
Right.
What makes this resort unique from all other resorts, not just other moderate resorts. And the one thing that really makes Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort is they have added these pirate rooms.
Yes.
Want to talk a little bit about the pirate rooms?
So the pirate rooms, they're pirate themed. So the two beds, these do have double beds. So while all the moderates have changed to queen beds, the pirate rooms still are on double beds. They're built like pirate ships. They're all pirate themed rooms. So all the theming in the room is geared towards that theme. So on average, you know, they may run you an extra $25 to $50 a night for this type of room. One thing to keep in mind with Caribbean Beach, and this will be true for a lot of the moderates, it's a very large resort, very spread out resort. So Disney is really good at this. They took the rooms that were the farthest away that nobody ever wanted, they themed them, mm-hmm. and now charge a premium for them. So you want to keep in mind, while the theming is fantastic, and if that's an interest, I could especially see a family with young boys or young girls interested in the whole pirate theme, it's phenomenal. But there's a trade-off.
Right.
So I don't want you to be surprised that, you know, when you realize just how far away you are
from everything else. And Caribbean Beach has the bus stops throughout the property, so you're not too far from a bus stop. However, these rooms tend to be walking distance to a bus stop.
Right.
So before you even get to the bus, you're there.
So, and the other thing with the Caribbean Beach Resort, just to back up a little before the pirate rooms, is that there's no beach. So there is, I shouldn't say that, there's no beach you can swim in. So I get that a lot. I want to say the Caribbean Beach because my kids want to swim in the beach, in the lake. There's no beach. So there's a sandy area around a lagoon or a lake. Don't go in the water. You cannot swim in the water. You cannot swim in any water at Disney. Right. So whether you're at the beach club, wherever you are, if it's not in a pool and doesn't look like it's being, you know, maintained at pool level, don't swim in it.
Especially
don't enter
the sign.
It. Don't put your feet in it. Don't go past the sign that says don't.
Right.
Because you're going to get back. Yeah. So
if you can't see the bottom, don't go in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, the Caribbean Beach Resort has an incredible pool.
Yes, it does.
A really great
themed
pool.
I don't remember how many years ago, but it's recently been redone. And beautiful pool area. They've also had their rooms recently redone so that, as I said, they went to queen beds now. It used to be that the moderates were doubles. So the value resorts, when we're talking about differences, they're all still double beds. So with the moderates, you've got the two queens. And that can be a real big deciding factor for people. And a lot of the Caribbean Beach rooms now will also sleep five. So they, it used to be that we just had the option at Riverside, and now we have a Caribbean Beach. So what they've done is they've put in a Murphy bed in a lot of the rooms. It kind of comes from, it's like a cabinet or something it comes from. This is not going to sleep an adult unless it's a smaller adult. I think it's around 60 to 65 inches long, maybe 30-ish wide. So I would think on average a 12-year-old, maybe a smaller teen, could sleep on this bed, but this room is not designed for five adults.
Right.
So just be aware of that.
Agreed. I don't even think it's designed for five people, but that's just a personal opinion.
I would agree with
that's
that.
More like if you, in my opinion, if you had two adults and two kids, a boy and a girl who didn't want to share a bed.
Right. It's a good option. Exactly. One thing to mention as well, the different room types available. We talked about the pirates. They also, besides the standard rooms, and a standard room here, it means that you're looking at, really, you're not looking at much because you've entered out in from the outside. So you have this external hallway. You have a window and a door. If you're, like, for the most part, my curtains are closed because people are walking by.
Right.
So the view doesn't play into it a lot for me there. What does maybe more is location. So standard, you could be anywhere on the resort property. Water view, you could be anywhere but looking at water. Preferred means that you're in a building closer to the main building and the main pool and where all the action is.
Right.
So if that's important to you, that may be an upgrade you want to spend. $25 to $50 again a night is on average. And one more thing unique here is that at the moderate level, you can actually book a king bedroom. At the value resort level, you can request it, but at the moderates, if available, you can book it. For the most part, for two people, although there are now some that sleep three with the use of that Murphy bed.
So. Excellent. Some of the dining options at Caribbean Beach, there is the old Port Royal food court, which is just a food court.
Yep.
Just a place where you go and get
call it whatever you want, but it's still
a food court. Theme it however you like. And then there is the infamous Shutters at Port Royal. We are hearing reports that Shutters has improved tremendously.
There was no other way to go.
I will reserve judgment until we
there
actually go
there. Was no
there.
Other option.
However, in my opinion, this was never a terrific restaurant.
No.
And also, it's certainly not a destination restaurant,
absolutely
in my opinion.
Not.
So this isn't the type of thing where if you're staying at the Polynesian, you're going to get in a cab or take multiple buses.
Yeah, I get that question a lot when people are deciding on restaurants and stuff. And, well, what about this? I always say don't exclude resort restaurants, but they've got to be worth something, because if you're relying on Disney transportation, to get to a resort restaurant is often not a small feat.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be something. It's a great idea if it's near a park. Like, you know, I'll often suggest for a guest who's in the Magic Kingdom, maybe you want to leave for an hour or two in the afternoon and have lunch at one of the resorts there.
However, that's a you different can jump story. On the monorail.
Exactly. Right, right. That's a different story than deciding you're going to go to Shutters at Caribbean Beach.
No.
Like, that's... and
that turns into planes, trains, and automobiles.
It does. And it is not worth the effort.
Absolutely.
And I don't
my
think
opinion,
any of them
Shutters
are.
Is, we're at the resort, we've been at the pool all day, do you feel like going anywhere?
Exactly.
This is here.
Yeah.
And actually, their food court is pretty good for that, and that they tend to have a few different options.
Right.
It's not just burgers.
I think in general,
before.
Don't you think the food courts in general have gotten better at that?
When we get to values, I don't mean to jump ahead, when we get to value resorts, my opinion, one of the best food courts is in Pop Century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's one of the best food courts out there.
But I've always...
I think that raised the bar.
Yeah, it did.
Sure did.
And then they got a little better after that. Yeah.
There's also a pool bar where you can get snacks out by the pool as well as drinks. And one of the nice things is that these resorts offer some kind of room service. It's usually pizza delivery.
Yes.
Caribbean Beach specifically, has pizza delivery. So it's while it's not great, it's another option.
Yeah.
For sure.
When we get to Coronado, we'll talk about what makes them different.
Right.
But at the others, it's usually pizza delivery. But as you said, sometimes at the end of the day, you just need options. You don't need gourmet. You don't need great. You need options.
And also sometimes there's something to be said for easy.
Yes.
There's something to be said for in my room.
Yep.
While I'm
exhausted. Taking that box of pizza down by the pool and enjoying it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something to be said for that too.
We talked a little bit about the moderates have a little bit more recreation than the value resorts do. Caribbean Beach is no exception. Things like campfire activities, movie under the stars, where they put up a big inflatable movie screen and show Disney movies, fishing, bike rentals, volleyball, jogging trail, playground. Pretty much every resort has an arcade for the kids, which is a great option. Anything I'm missing?
Oh, I think that's about, sounds about right. Okay, nothing else is glaring at me.
And when we go through the other moderates, you're probably going to hear me say same as
there's
Caribbean.
There's a lot of similarities.
Same as Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But it's nice that these are available.
Yep.
Because it's not all about going to the parks all day, every day.
That's right.
It's giving you another option.
And sometimes the, so I find when a family first comes, often they're starting at the values. So sometimes when I've had a family who've been for two or three times, the suggestion is maybe it's time we try a moderate. Because maybe now you don't need to be in the park every day, all day. Now you have more resort time. And sometimes that becomes a little bit more important. So it's just a way to kind of step up and to experience something different.
Absolutely. Anything else about Caribbean Beach that we missed that we should cover?
I don't think so. I think that's about it. I think it should be known that it is over 2,000 rooms. It is a big spread out resort. So be prepared for that. As we said, there's the multiple bus stops throughout.
Not only is it 2,000 rooms, but the buildings are spread out. I know that I just happened to know there are 1,192 rooms at all of the all-star resorts. This was a big deal in Orlando because it was a political thing as far as it being very close to 192.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was going to take away business from
and
those
it was
going to
take away. So it was kind of a smack at local government that there was 1,192 rooms. That's the only reason I know that. That's not a geek thing that was in the news a lot. So while that's also a large resort, Caribbean Beach seems larger in area also. There's more room between buildings.
Yeah. And besides the main pool area, there's also smaller quiet pools spread out around the resort a little bit around some of the buildings.
And quiet pools generally just mean no slide.
Yeah, it just means it's just a regular pool, but also, which usually means quieter.
Right, because the kids aren't attracted to that pool. They want to go where the slides are and the water.
But you're also not going to find the same amenities as you would at the main pool.
That's right. There's not going to be a bar there.
True. All right, so let's move on to Coronado Springs Resort. What Disney wants you to know is different about Coronado Springs is it has La Vida Health Club.
Yes, that's a big difference.
That is a big difference among all the moderates.
Being a convention hotel, some of the amenities at Coronado kind of try to mirror a deluxe a little bit. So Coronado is a convention hotel. It has a lot of convention space, which means often when you stay there, there will be conventions going on. I happened to stay there last night, and as I pulled in, I realized the World Dance and Cheer competitions are happening at Coronado Springs.
When do you perform? When do you go on? Yeah,
mine's tonight, so we got to get going.
Hurry up.
Where's your pom-pom?
Yeah. Ooh. Anyways, realize that could be happening. Now, the dance and cheer, it's young adults, really, for the most part. There are some smaller.
Tweens, maybe?
Tweens, for the most part. I know it's a little bit older. I didn't see any, anyway, really young ones, but it seems to be more that tween teen year, maybe some into late teens, 20s. So that's not so far out of the Disney, demographic. But I've also been there sometimes where it's a very different convention.
Like
where
the
maybe
dental
it's,
convention
right.
is there. And it's
and yeah. You can be sitting in the food court and the conversation happening at the table next door with a bunch of guys who are on a convention can be a little bit different than what if that table was filled by a family vacationing.
Right.
So you need to kind of know that when choosing Coronado. Yep. That, and there are ways, I think there might be ways to find out what conventions are happening. And if that's important to you, that might be something that your agent can find out for you. Mm-hmm. Just to know during your visit if there are conventions, and you can kind of make your decision that way. Now, sometimes your decision is dictated by price,
right,
by availability. That's a whole different set of rules. I'm just saying that, you know, be aware. But part of being convention means there's, you know, a couple on-site, you know, sit-down restaurants. Mm-hmm. You've got the health club. You've got a spa. You've got a salon there. So there are different things that convention brings you.
Along with the fact that it does draw a convention crowd, there's two significant bars there. Bars, yes, that actually advertise beyond Disney property.
Right.
Rick's Lounge, or mm-hmm, Cafe Rick's is one of them. And the other one is Las Ventanas.
Yes.
Is that how it's said?
I don't know if that's how it's said, but yeah, that's the one.
So something to consider too is that, you know, there's
some nightlife there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly and some drinking.
You know, talking about, we had talked about room service with Caribbean Beach. This resort actually has a room service menu.
Correct.
I was looking at it last night, and you can actually order,
yeah. I have there doing breakfast from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. and dinner from 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. Yeah. Don't know the quality of the food. Don't know
I would
where
guess
it's gonna,
that it's coming from the restaurants probably on site. I didn't try it, but it's there as an option again. I think it would be kind of like the pizza. It's convenient. But it's hotel room service.
And if you're on a convention and you want to get your breakfast fast and go. We'll talk a little about the restaurants. This has some of my favorite restaurants on Disney property. It has the Pepper Market, which is their version of their food court.
However, it's done wildly differently.
Wildly different. Yes. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Now, I haven't been there in a while, so if something's changed, I apologize. But when you go in, you got sort of like a passport, like a card, and you went around and you ordered things at different stations, and when you ordered something, they would stamp your passport. And after you were all done, after you had been finished eating, you would go to the cashier and check out, and they would charge you by the passports that you had.
I believe it's still run that way.
Yeah.
And what I thought was, I always thought the food there was better. It was definitely better.
Well,
and there were some better options.
Yeah, typical food court food, but then there seemed to be more kind of preparing.
Yeah.
You know, by order. And I have to tell you, I think I might be the only person in the world who did not ever like that food court.
Really?
Always hated it. Always didn't like it. Never enjoyed it. Chris thinks I'm crazy because he loves it there. And I just
think
it's
maybe... Can you put your finger on what you don't like?
I just think it's... First of all, I feel like I'm forging, you know, having to... You know, there's so much going on. And I feel because a lot of it was... there was some made-to-order stations in a food court environment, made-to-order...
Slows things down.
Absolutely. And I just found a lot of the flavors and stuff were not to my taste.
I was going
to
say, there's some more exotic stuff there than you would find.
That's right. But like really, for the most part, people like it. And I do find the prices slightly higher.
I would not... This is not a slur. Tracy likes things that are more basic than I do.
Yeah, I definitely have more of a basic palate for sure.
So when I use the word exotic, I'm not...
Yeah, it's not that exotic.
It's not that exotic
for some
people.
It could be that they, you know, it's Mexican.
They used pepper.
Or they used cilantro.
Cilantro and pepper.
Right. You know, it really, like, that's, you know, so exotic's a relative term.
I like it. I've always liked the food.
And that's what I said. Chris loves it. Like, everybody I go with loves it. That's why I really think I'm not in the norm.
I think after the burgers, fries, chicken finger... food courts, this one has a little bit of a choice.
It also speaks to the fact that, you know, this is all opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like Coronado and you want to go to Coronado, that's great. If you don't want to go there, that's great. It's just our opinion at the moment.
And they have Cafe Rick's there, which is really just like a walk-in coffee. You know, they have a freezer.
Right, Rick's Lounge is the bar.
That's right.
Cafe Rick's
And then Cafe Rick's is this little place where you go in and grab a sandwich. You can grab coffee. They have some fresh baked bakery stuff. They have gelato there. And I think that dictates to the fact that it's a convention hotel.
For those of you who have been around a while, Rick's Lounge is where the mojitos were served.
Right. Ah.
That Bob said.
Yes, mojitos. So I think... there's differences here that you can see. This is about the fact that they're playing to their audience.
Absolutely.
And they're playing to people who are usually on a per diem.
That's right. And that's why I say that I notice a difference in pricing on some things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because a good, a, good portion of their business is on an expense account.
I think there are people there, for, as you said, for reasons other than going to a theme park.
Right.
So there are people attending conventions. So room service at the end of a long yes. day is... Yeah.
Something I've heard people say, and I don't know if any of you guys feel this way too, people said they feel uncomfortable being on vacation
yes.
where people are walking around in suits and ties.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Yeah. And, you know, I don't necessarily know that I feel uncomfortable based on the way I'm dressed versus them, but I feel like sometimes I'm in their way of working. Mm. So I feel like, you know, my vacationing is interrupting their work week. It feels like that sometimes.
It also feels like you're in a very different environment.
And I was clearly interrupting the young girls who wanted to, like, walk in droves on the walkways.
Well, that's because you were breathing.
So I was clearly bothering them. But that's a whole other story.
There was a whole read between the line thing when you were describing exactly. the clientele.
Yeah.
There's also, it's a very different dynamic, what you're there for. There are people who are, you know, moving from meeting to meeting, yeah. and you're deciding, when's the bus going to take me to Epcot?
And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people, I have a lot of clients, and I know a lot of people personally who love this resort. They love it. They don't have the same feel towards it as I do. I do not. Like, I will avoid staying there if at all possible.
I personally like Rick's, the Piper Market.
Yeah.
I do not care for the resort itself.
Yeah. It's
and
just
I've never
not,
stayed there.
It's just not my thing. I've stayed there now a few times. And it just never seems to work. Now, this is the first time I've stayed in a preferred building, so I have close proximity to what's happening in the main buildings. And I got to tell you, that elevates my experience a little bit. But generally speaking, it's sad because it's a beautiful resort.
It is a beautiful resort.
It's very well done. It's very well themed.
My family actually really loves this resort because... Wow, I just choked on myself.
Oh, he got all choked out.
Oh,
my family.
That's sweet, Craig's mom.
Mi familia. No, my family really enjoys this resort because it is, I believe, the only moderate resort that actually also offers a version of concierge.
Right, yeah.
And it's in a preferred building, so it's one of the closest by.
Night.
And so, like, my dad's on a very restrictive diet, so he enjoys that they put out fresh fruit and stuff yep. in the morning. Very... extremely similar to concierge at all the other resorts, like not as wide of a yep. beer selection, not as good of a wine selection,
and very short hours.
Yeah, very short hours, but it's still it's that nice way to dip your feet into concierge without going
yep.
all the way to deluxe.
In that price point, for sure.
Yeah.
So that segues us right into talking about room types. The business class is a room type here. So it, and I stayed in one of those rooms last night. As I said, it is in a preferred building, so it is nice and close to what's happening. There's a lounge. The lounge is open from 7 in the morning until 10 a.m., and then opens again at 5, and it's open until 10. So it's not one of these all-day lounges. With the concierge here, they don't call it concierge. They call it business class, right. just to differentiate the service level. There's not a separate check-in, so that was all handled regularly. In fact, when I checked in, they gave me no information about the lounge, or I asked where it was. Oh, it's in your building. Okay.
Thanks.
I looked
Start
at the
knocking on doors.
Map. It wasn't listed. Like, it was all kind of, I felt like I was a member of a very secret club.
Really?
So it's not concierge, but it is certainly a step above. And so last night we went in and enjoyed some snacks and drinks, and they just put out finger food, like, you know, chips and salsa, and there was some cheese and some cookies, and they had a range of sodas and beer and wine, as Craig had said. So it was really, it was a really nice touch. And so if you were looking at staying at this resort and already thinking about paying preferred to be closer to the main building and the action, to go into the business class is, I think, is only about $25 to $40 more a night. So if you're thinking a family of four, even a couple, this morning I dropped in there, they had the fresh fruit, as Craig had said. They had some cereal. They had bagels. They had a toaster set up. They were giving
some families,
you know, coffee
use that
and
for
tea.
Breakfast.
So it
yeah.
easily, I think you could get $25 or $30 value out of there. Just
well,
by doing
price
that.
The soda just went up.
Yeah, exactly.
So just getting your drinks.
Right.
People
so just
who are
having
wine
that,
drinkers,
that's
sure.
right. So, you know, and if you're on a dining plan, this continental breakfast would serve as your first meal of the day, freeing up your dining credits for meals later on. So I definitely think there's some value in it. It was staffed during those hours, and there was a desk there, so I would imagine they could have helped with things like dining or questions and things like that.
Description of that on their website, it says, you know, they will help you with dining reservations and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what the difference is between the regular room and the preferred room?
I think that's coming in. It depends, but I would say $70 to $90 a night, sometimes less. I know at one point they were saying they were $25 to $50. I see very rarely that it's that low. Mm-hmm. I think more like $50 to $80 would be a range. It varies so much on season and different things. Again, this resort also has king bedrooms, so you could do that. The Coronado sleeps four in every. There's not the five option like at Caribbean Beach or Port Orleans or Riverside. So they have the preferred, they have water preferred and standard here.
Excellent. The other thing we didn't talk about was their sit-down restaurant, the Meyer Grill. I like that very much. I think that's a great restaurant. I've always had a good meal there.
They have another sit-down one too. I noticed it this time and I haven't seen it before.
Siesta's Cantina?
No, La something.
Is that Las Ventanas?
Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't recognize that. And that's why I kept saying I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember seeing that.
I think. And they had, I know yesterday when I was looking at what was available for dining, it seemed to
be. Where is that located in the resort?
It's just across from the Pepper Market, I think. So there was Cafe Ricks, there was the Ricks Lounge.
Right.
And then right kind of beside it as you're heading to the Pepper Market, it was right there.
Oh, okay.
I kind of think it used to be something else.
Yes.
It could have
been the store.
No, the store's up further. The store's more off the lobby. I think it used to be something else, but it's there
as
well.
Is it part of the Pepper Market?
No, it's across.
I don't know why my voice went up so high.
It's across the way.
There's a show the last time we were there.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since we've been there. Excellent. All right, so let's move on. Let's do Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter Resort.
French Quarter is my favorite resort. It's my favorite moderate and sometimes even my favorite of some of the others. I don't know if it's just a sentimental favorite. We stayed there a lot as Ben was growing up.
The theming is something that people respond to very much.
Yeah.
People love the theming.
It has an almost urban feel to it because it has streets.
Yep. It's got and after Katrina happened, shortly after, we had gone to the French Quarter. And Ben, who I've mentioned before has autism, was seeing all of this stuff in the news, and he's at this resort, and it looks like New Orleans, and the streets are the same, and the signs and everything. And he said, they did a really good job cleaning this up. It was like he didn't, and in his defense, he was like maybe 8 or 9 at the time.
He could have got yes, you've been to New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you remember that
trip? But I love the size. I think for me, it's the size. This resort has something like 1,000 rooms. So when you talk about Caribbean Beach, Coronado, Riverside, these are all 2,000 room resorts. Right.
Where, it feels much more intimate.
Yes, where preferred location is important at these other ones to be close to main buildings. The building doesn't really matter at French Quarter because you're within an easy walk.
It's still a big resort, but it feels more intimate than the others.
It's just, you know, with 1,000 rooms, we liked that we had a quiet place to come back to at the end of the day. And it has some pretty grounds, and it has their pools not as themed for sure as the other moderate resorts. It does have the dragon slide, but I would say it'd be more suitable for, you know, 11, 12 and under, maybe even younger than that. You know, when they get into the tweens and the teen years, they want a bigger water slide. Right. They want a little bit more going on. So that's not happening at the French Quarter. They did recently build a new kids splash play area for the younger kids. But this resort, and again, we talked about the boat to Disney Springs. It does only have one bus stop, but it could at times share buses with the Riverside. So I don't want you to choose the resort based on the one bus stop because the others all have multiple. But there are times where it could share, just not always.
They have great corner rooms that have a quarter window, which, I don't know, it makes those rooms feel so much brighter and airier.
And they do have, you can upgrade here to like a Riverview room. But again, when I always hesitate with people upgrading the views in a moderate resort. It's not like you're going in on a balcony. It's not like you're going to have your curtains open looking out over this view. So think about the dollar value to you when you're talking about upgrading a view at a moderate resort.
I also think you have to say to yourself, especially on a Disney vacation, what am I going to do in my room?
Yeah.
There are some people who use their room much more. John and I tend to get a great deal of use out of our hotel room. We like to
make it comfortable. But most, I think most people on Disney vacation is it's going to be where you pass out.
And you know, view might not matter as much if you're not at a resort that says has a balcony.
That's right.
You know,
exactly.
Right. If you can't see the castle or the fireworks, you know.
And now, and even if you are on a river view, if you have a balcony, that could be a pretty view in the evening. But if you're in a moderate resort where your doors come in from an outside hallway and there are windows at that same outside hallway where people are walking by to their room,
It's actually not a hallway. I apologize. It's an outside walkway.
Yeah. And so it becomes, you know, is it worth it or not? So that's, I mean, for some people it might be. And again, it could be then, you know, your river view is going to be in a little bit of a different location. If you're in standard, you could be by a stairwell or looking at a parking lot. So you know yourself how important that is to you.
Absolutely.
But French Quarter has no sit-down restaurant.
Correct.
But as I said, Riverside is just up, literally up the river. And you can, there's the boat that you can get back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually a great ride. If you take that down to Disney Springs.
It is.
The boat ride.
What's in French Quarter? It's the Mardi Gras themed food court.
Sasagula Floatworks and Food Factory Food Court.
Is that really what it's called?
Yep. I guess I got it in front of me in writing.
It is.
So what I like about Disney, what I find humorous about Disney is they're trying to do this thing where what makes the resort different. So for French Quarter, they list that this resort has the Scat Cats Club.
Wow.
That's what really sets it apart from all the other resorts, which is basically that little bar area when you go into the lobby. You've seen it. You've passed it by a million times.
Apparently, I've passed it by and not paid much attention.
And said to yourself,
it.
What are people doing in there? No, actually, someone performs there. Who performs there, Craig?
No,
you would know.
Doesn't.
You're a drinker.
I think you're
Yeehaw Bob, but
Yeehaw
that's
Bob,
Riverside.
Oh, maybe that's what I am thinking of.
Yeah.
They do have like jazz musicians that play in there.
Yeah, there's so many people go
there,
and
there's
see.
Live entertainment.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me like
I'm crazy.
Okay.
Really? It can be hard to do.
Sorry about that. Yeah. All right.
Okay. You're right, John.
I think they missed the boat on that. I think what they should be advertising about that is its size. Of all the values in the moderate resorts, it's the smallest, it's the most intimate, it's the quiet place to come to at the end of the day. I think they missed the boat on deciding that Scat's Cat was the...
And I don't mean to describe it as urban. It's not at all big city-like, but it's got like a...
Well, they've tried to theme it that you're walking on the streets of New Orleans.
Right.
You're walking down...
The French Quarter. Don't try, John.
Something street. Again, this resort, has pizza delivery to the room.
Yep.
So that's a nice option. Now, going on to the recreation... Most of the other resorts all have the same, moderate resorts have the same recreation, but there's a few things they list here that I think are worth noting. They do horse-drawn carriage rides.
They actually do that from the Riverside through the French Quarter.
They're listed on both resorts.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Horse-drawn carriage rides cost $45, last about 25 minutes, something that you might be interested in, and go through Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground and a whole bunch of different places.
Not from the Riverside, though. Because that would be a really long carriage ride.
It's going to last longer than 25 minutes.
Okay,
this is listing all of them.
You may not want to look at me right now because I'm looking at you like you're crazy again.
Yeah, you're crazy on your face. You are correct. They also do holiday sleigh rides.
No, go back. Say it again.
Holiday sleigh rides?
Before that. You are correct.
I'm going to edit that out. Oh, I got a weird message. They also talk about, they have swashbuckling adventures. Is this from
It's for
French Quarter as well?
That would be from Riverside. Okay. And what they do is, those are the, and this is the thing. When you're talking about Riverside and French Quarter, they really are what we call sister resorts.
Yeah.
They share a lot of resources. So talking about the two of them together.
I always refer to them as Port Orleans. So
right, exactly.
That's my problem.
Yeah, the French Quarter and the Riverside really just talk about the different areas you're sleeping, but you have access to all the resort amenities. So something like the swashbuckling.
Swashbuckling. They say they have the Bayou Pirate Adventure.
Yeah, so what that is for River. Younger kids. You can go, they do it from the yacht club as well. So they'll go out on a boat and there'll be pirates hunting for treasure. And it's just something that the kids go and do. The adults stay behind. And really cool thing to do when you're looking for that extra thing.
Right,
they average about $30, $35 a kid. And they're usually 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Just something extra to do at that resort.
Right. Exactly. And that's a great thing. You're going to send the kids. And now mom and dad have 90 minutes to 2 hours.
To do what?
It depends on mom and dad. But in my family, that would probably mean that, you know, napped. Dad would be doing the laundry while mom is hanging at the pool.
You are a catch.
I am a catch. It is true. It is true.
All right. Moving on to Port Orleans Resort Riverside. Okay. So the big thing here, what they like to boast about this resort, is that they have the royal guest rooms.
Yes. So these are themed in a very royal castle princessy way. You know, when Disney does a themed room, it is immersive. It's themed throughout the whole thing. One thing to know about these rooms is that they do only sleep four. So while the Riverside has rooms that sleep five, that's not true for these. These are rooms that sleep four. And we say four, we actually mean four plus an infant. So four plus a child under three would be accommodated. So they do only sleep four. They are in the mansions section of the resort. So Riverside is divided into mansions and the Alligator Bayou area. So it's the Alligator Bayou area where you would have some of those rooms that sleep five with that Murphy bed we talked about at Caribbean Beach. But these royal themed rooms are pretty cool. Again, at a premium, you're going to pay extra for these. The locations are pretty good. That while not considered preferred, I would still consider them a good location. So definitely, you know, people with little girls want to think about it. And often when we're talking about discounts, it tends to be that these are the rooms being offered as a discount. We don't often see the standard and garden view rooms being offered.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And I think it's just inventory. I think, again, trying to get... sometimes I think what happens is when people make the move to go into a moderate, trying to get them to upgrade to different things from that standard, I think sometimes can be a challenge. So I believe that often leaves inventory at some of these more preferred and different locations.
Do you think that these immersive rooms just weren't as popular as Disney thought they were going to be?
I think in some cases, I think what happens is nothing is by accident with Disney. So I think, you know, when we talked about the Caribbean Beach, nobody wanted those rooms out there. People were requesting other buildings. People were not happy when they were getting those rooms. They found a way to theme them and to charge extra for them. They're often available. Often available. Same thing when discounts come out. Often it's pirate-themed rooms we're seeing available. With the Riverside, I think it's a little bit of the same thing. Some people will do it. But when you start looking at upgrading rooms too much at the moderate level, now you're into deluxe prices in some cases. And certainly the entry-level deluxes. So when you start to look at the gap, when you get into deluxe rooms, often the discount amount is higher. So a deluxe discount might be 30%, where a moderate resort might only be 15%. So now you've upgraded to a higher room category at the moderate level. You have less of a discount. You know, sometimes the deluxe makes sense. And I don't think it worked out quite as they planned.
As I suspected. one of the things that Riverside has that is unique is they have Boatwright's Dining Hall.
Yes.
Okay food, not necessarily my favorite
place. We've
eaten
there more than once. Yeah. And again, it's that place... At the end of the day, they used to be open more during the day. I think they're only open for dinner now. They've had a lot of changes in hours. But sometimes at the end of the day, you don't want food court, but you also don't want to go out anywhere. And so I definitely found, as far as resort, non-special, nondescript restaurants go,
right.
It certainly wasn't terrible.
Their quick service is Riverside Mill Food Court.
Mm-hmm. Again.
Is that the place that has that really good... cornbread
with the black pepper in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We used to go there just for that.
Right, let's go get cornbread and butter.
It might be getting by lunchtime. That might be the problem. That also has the River Roost Lounge, which I believe is in that where Yeehaw Bob performs.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Make sure I got that right. And this resort also has pizza delivery to the room.
It does.
Anything I missed?
No, I think we've pretty well covered it. You know, with the boat to Disney Springs is a big selling feature here. You know, because you think you get that boat, and now you've got a world of restaurants and shopping and entertainment open to you. So I think that's a big plus as well. Multiple bus stops throughout the Riverside, like the Caribbean Beach and the Coronado, sometimes sharing with French Quarter, sometimes not, depending on how busy it is.
All things being equal, which moderate would you stay at?
French Quarter. And it's strictly a size thing for me. That being said, the pool is not important to my family. I think if the pool is important to your family, the French Quarter may not be the resort for you. And my second, if I'm right, clients often ask me to rank them. For me, it's French Quarter, Riverside, Caribbean Beach, Coronado. That's my ranking.
Craig, what about you?
I would actually probably take Riverside. French Quarter definitely is absolutely the best. But the thing I love about Riverside is that it's so shaded and there's lots of trees, lots of green around. Something that the other ones lack, especially like Coronado. You're just baking in the sun all day.
Very important for the gingers among us.
Exactly. And like for people who want to be active, maybe take advantage of the fact that there's a really long trail that goes back and forth between French Quarter and Riverside. I think it's just, you know, it's spread out, it's wide, but having those trees and that lush greenery all around, it's very relaxing, very peaceful.
Kevin, what about you?
I agree with Tracy. I think the most appealing one is the French Quarter for all the reasons I talked about earlier. I don't care for the resort. I don't care for the theming of Coronado. I think Riverside is beautiful. I think that's it.
Okay.
Didn't it feel like there was going to be something else?
Kevin's answer is, oh, no, I'd rather not say any of them.
I think Kevin's answer is we better be staying at the Lexus.
Exactly. Mine is actually Caribbean Beach for a very different reason. When I was working for Disney and I was doing IT support, that was the resort I was given to support. Okay. So I kind of have a little bit of fondness.
It's Kathy Worling's favorite too.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I feel bad when I say that it's my third, because I know Kathy loves it. So I'm sorry, Kathy. It's a great resort. And I think for me, when I got married here, the whole family stayed at the French Quarter. And we did the carriage ride the night we got married through. So it's a lot of sentimental. And it was a great place for Ben and I to be when he needed that quiet place at the end of the day. So, and in fact, that's what we're staying when we come down in June, I think, we're going to be at the French Quarter.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right, so we are going to go on to our agent spotlight. For those of you who have watched our show, you know that we like to end each show with highlighting one of our Dreams Unlimited travel agents. And this week, we're going to talk about Lisa Brown. Lisa lives in Malvern, Pennsylvania, with her husband, two children, Ella and Harrison, and their Bichon Bell. She received a bachelor's and doctorate degree from the University of Delaware, and a master's from Westchester University in education and psychology, which helps her dealing with her fellow Dreams Unlimited travel agents. In her free time, she enjoys cooking, traveling, and volunteering. As a Disney Vacation Club member, Lisa has been to Disney World over 30 times and experienced all levels of accommodations, including value, moderate, and deluxe resorts. She's a Disney Cruise Line Platinum Castaway Club member and has experienced varied itineraries, including the Mediterranean, Transatlantic, Eastern, Western Caribbean, Mexican Riviera, and Bahamas. Lisa spent a week at Aulani and will be taking her first Adventures by Disney vacation in 2016. Lisa specializes in Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Aulani, and Universal. She also books Sandals and Beaches vacations. If you're interested in contacting Lisa to get a quote or just, you know, touch base with her and see if she'll be a good match for her to be your agent, it is Lisa, LISAB, at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all very much for participating. Thank you guys at home for listening and watching. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you have a great week, and we hope you have a great vacation.